brothers and sisters of the world.
Wow, wow, wow. What a statement win yesterday. Welcome back. We're joined today by Nima and Joe. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, it's good. It's a lot of reflecting. I'm a little bit shell-shocked from what I saw yesterday. Did not expect him to be that mature, but we'll see. We'll get into it, I'm sure.
What about you, Joe? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm ecstatic today. I woke up even happier than I was yesterday.
Yesterday was really really a statement win, a statement performance from the team. 5-1, five derby wins in a row, which is the first time that happened in history. All five of them have been this year, 2023. As someone tweeted out earlier, how you count five in Italian, it's Mkhitaryan and so on and so on, you know. So yesterday was really, really great. Five wins for Inzaghi in a row as well in the derby, which I think is the record now for the manager with most derby consecutive wins. Where do we even begin?
No, I think that's a good place to start, actually, with Inzaghi, because the way that he, and I tweeted this out, I'm really, really completely blown away by him and his Inter, because this is now indeed his Inter. It really is his Inter in every essence of the word. This is a team that plays a form of vertical football, but much more deeper. They're much more deeper in their defensive lines. They're much more balanced. The way that they, these expansive triangles that he plays, big triangles that he plays in the counter-attacking phase. I think Thuram's goal is a fantastic example of that. Big, big triangles. And then what I mean by that is the pass, the position of the players when the first initial pass is made. It's very big trying. It's a very difficult football that he plays. And the fact that it all happens kind of within seconds, in the sense that everyone has to time everything perfectly. It's 3-4 people that have to time their movements, their passes, their runs perfectly. And it happened time and time and time again yesterday. And I know we're going to get into the actual game itself, but to me, Inzaghi's football is, he's got the vertical aspect and the tightness of, you know, Antonio Conte's calcio verticale, but there's also a relaxed fluidity. It's a passing Inter. Inter are a team that barely have any dribblers. I think they're the worst in the Serie A for dribblings, but they're the one of the best in the world for pass retention, pass completion, and the kinds of passes that they do. It's truly, truly, truly remarkable. Yesterday, so many times you saw, it's very difficult to play like that, to have the players, to see that the players see what he wants them to do, to play this kind of, I think it was the 50th or 60th minute where he, or I think it's Di Marco who crosses the ball 40 yards over to the other side on the right, where I think it's Çalhanoğlu who takes it down and crosses it down to the left of it. Again, these big, expansive triangle passes are—it's unbelievable. It's a form of football that I've never seen played before. And you know, everybody likes to wax lyrical over other coaches, and that's fine. But Inzaghi's doing things very quietly that are truly unique, truly unique. And the maturity on display as well. Up until Mkhitaryan scored his second goal and Inter's third, I thought this was a very evenly balanced game on the manner of the way that the game was played. It wasn't like, you know, Milan were asking questions of Inter. They'd scored their first their goal and they were pushing Inter, and Inter didn't look really comfortable. And then of course you make the changes and Inter revert back to what they did in the first half. And then they didn't look back. And that, to me, is the most impressive. I'm a little bit shell-shocked because the last time I saw an Inter that were this in tune, the players, tactically, psychologically, like mentally, everyone, it was Mourinho in 2009-2010. I've not seen an Inter like that balanced. Just everything is where it needs to be. How far they can go, I don't know. But now I'm raising the bar here. I think if you play like that on match day four, and it's going to be difficult points in this season. Every team has dips in form, right? But I expect Inter to win the Scudetto. I demand that now Scudetto, that Inter win the Scudetto. I demand that they win the Coppa Italia. I demand that they win the Supercoppa. And I actually demand them to win their Champions League group and at least get to the semifinal or quarterfinal. Because when you play like this, the bar raises automatically. This is a team that was in Europe's final, was in Europe's elite competition, final of the Europe's elite competition last year. And if you go from that to this, then, well, you raise the expectations. I expect more from Inter now than I did before the derby because they asphalted Milan completely in every aspect of the word.
True. Yesterday was a proper... I keep saying this, but it really felt like a statement from Inzaghi, you know, to all the people. Yeah. Even saying, last year's UCL final was a fluke. Everyone just saying, maybe he's not as good. Look, we saw it today. Well, yesterday, we saw it. It was a real, real statement. I really can't find a better word for that. Joe, what were your thoughts on the game? What did you think?
Well, Nima kind of surprised me when he said Champions League semifinal. but... You know what? With the way this team is playing, I don't think he's wrong. I think the sky is the limit right now. And I've been an Inter fan since 2011, 2012. So like towards the end of that season, beginning of 2013. So I've never seen a team like this that started in this way. Just so dominant. And it almost looks so effortless too. And it's just, I've never seen the club this united. Never seen the club this in such a good shape on the pitch. The team is just so well built. Inzaghi has done a sensational job. Nima broke down the tactical details of kind of what he's doing. And some of the stuff, I mean, people like to talk about De Zerbi and Pep and all the sexy names, but he's not getting the credit that he deserves. And what he's doing is really special. And I think Inter fans need to kind of reflect right now because what we're seeing is really, really, really special.
I want to build on that. I want to say this is a special Inter. I'm just saying enjoy this season. But no matter what happens, just enjoy it because this is truly, truly, truly unique. The way that they are, like the way that the team, the coach, the tactics, they are all on the same page in a way that is, it's truly remarkable. I can't, like I said, Mourinho was the last time you had this perfect moment in time where you had ownership, management, fans, everyone on the same wavelength. Mattia. And yesterday we saw that. I mean, exactly to build on Joe's point, this is a united Inter. And I think it came towards, it's because last season was so exhausting and weird on so many levels. And I think Inter fans united toward, you know, by reaching the Champions League final, everything that happened down that entire trip. And then the summer with Lukaku doing whatever the hell he did to Ram the way that he arrived. Let's remember how he arrived, how he chose Inter. He was close to Milan. And Fratesi, they moved heaven and earth. They got very criticized for how they handled some of those deals, but and they should be because it was at times it was a very circus environment, but at the end they got the job done. And more importantly, now Inter have ridiculous depth on the pitch. And you can see that this is a group that is incredibly united, that is, that works together, that knows what they want to do, the football they want to express, and they do it. And there's no like, and they're a little bit angry as well. Yesterday, I felt they were a little bit pissed off in a good way. They wanted to send a clear message to everybody. And they managed to, again, in those difficult moments in the derby when Leao from nothing scores that beautiful goal, by the way. I mean, the movement, Giroud dropping down in to go to sleep defensively, and Leao just does what he does. When that happens, and Inter are a little bit shaken because they felt so in control, but they don't panic. They are so calm and methodic in how they resolve these issues, how they go through everything step by step. Okay, back to basics. What was it? 31-33% ball possession in the first half, 40 overall, 49 in the second half. So it made it somewhere like 40% over the 90 minutes. It's an Inter that can play in so many, many, many different ways, and they can adapt. And that makes them also scary, to add to Bruce's point. I think the fact that Inter are so tactically versatile, they can play with possession, they can play without possession. They can, I mean, you know, they can outpass you, they can defend deep, win the ball, and then outrun you. That was not possible last season. They have that option now with Marcus Thuram and Lautaro, who together are just, I mean, the two of them, what a strike duo they are together.
True. I mean, just to touch on the depth, have here the lineups from yesterday's game. The starting lineup for anyone who didn't see. So it was Omar, right center back to left. Darmian Acerbi making his return after injury. He played very well, I think, given the circumstances that he didn't even start the first few games. Bastoni, Dudu Dumfries, Nicola Barella, Hakan Çalhanoğlu, Henrik Mkhitaryan, MVP yesterday, best player on the pitch. Fede Di Marco, Lautaro Martinez, and Marcus Thuram. And who came on? Carlos Augusto, Davide Fratesi, Marco Arnautovic, De Vrij, and Aslani. And just to think, who else can come on? We still have Pavard on the bench, Davy Klaassen, Stefano Sensi, Juan Cadrado, and Alexis Sanchez. That is scary depth that we haven't had in...
No, we've not had it since 2009, 2010. Yeah. And even though I think that team on paper was better because there was more money to spend, and you had Milito, Eto'o, you know, Thiago Motta, Wesley Sneijder. I mean, Inter, there was world class in every single position. The goalkeeper was the best goalkeeper in the world. The defenders were the best defenders in the world. You had two, three of the best strikers in the world. I mean, you literally had what Mike on was undoubtedly the best right back in the world. You had world-class players in abundance. Here, you do have world-class players, but what you do have is a coach who has tactically and psychologically, mentally gotten this team to become better than the sum of their parts. And that is what a coach's job is essentially to get the best out of everything that he's got, you know, at his disposal. And no, I was a Thuram man, like the way that he, you know, this is why I keep saying he is Edin Dzeko's replacement, because he's doing everything that Dzeko couldn't do anymore, and he's doing everything he did, but just everything is so much better. He's quick, he's fast, he's strong, his passing is excellent, he can shoot, as we saw. And he links up really, really well. And the understanding that he has with Lautaro is just, and the way that Lautaro takes on that responsibility to get him into the team and how they're playing, both of them, is just, it's truly amazing. It's truly, truly unique. Just 4 days in.
True. I mean, just to touch on the harmony of the squad, how they're so in sync after the last 12 years, what we had at the club, we had the God knows whatever was happening until 2016. Then we had Mancini come, then we had Pioli, God knows who else. Kind of forgot about that. That's all a blur now, you know. We had Spalletti in those two very crucial, very difficult Champions League qualifications. We had then obviously Conte come in with the first Scudetto in 10 years. We had the first real heartbreak in 10 years, losing the Europa League final. And then what Inzaghi has done in the last 2.5 years or however it's been, four trophies. Really is incredible. And just to see that even all the former players, what they're doing, you know, Gosens, he posted on social media that he's happy for the team, you know. Hakimi as well follows the team regularly. D'Ambrosio's wife got the tattoo of Inter just 2 days ago, I think. So it's really really nice to see what the culture of the club.
For all the problems, they have created exactly that culture at the club that everyone is happy at. Nobody wants to leave Inter. Everybody wants to stay. Everybody is happy and they look fondly at their time at Inter. And that's something that Marotta and Inzaghi and his team they've done that over the last 3 years. And it's they've created this culture where everybody wants to be there. It's a nice place to be now. It's a place where you play very attractive, progressive football, you win titles, and it's a nice environment. It didn't always used to be like that. And that's something they've done consistently, built up to it, and it's truly, truly unique and remarkable to see it all kind of come together. I mean, the only negative I can think of is, are Inter hitting form too early? It's looking so damn good that is it too early? But I don't think it is, because it's a structural Inter. It's not just it's structurally sound. It's a team that is structurally sound, and when things aren't working, he makes changes, and those players who come on change the game tactically in the way that he wanted them to, and then they go on and win 5-1. Like that kind of stuff builds confidence, it builds belief, it builds character, and it creates team spirit, because they all know that they will all call on one another. Acerbi hadn't played a minute, like you said, jumps in, plays 90, and he played 90 minutes, and he was outstanding. He played in two positions. He played at left centre-back, he played at centre centre-back. I mean, it's... To have your leaders do that, to have your experienced players come in and do that, you know, that just shows that, you know, they know that there are no starters. It's not a cliche. There are no starters, quote unquote, but a team that it's 24, 25 players. Everyone's going to be called on. And I think we're going to see that now when we move to the Champions League where you play three times a week, that Inzaghi is going to rotate heavily. And like he did from April onwards, when we reached the Champions League final, I think he should. It's the correct move. And he certainly has the quality in it yesterday. I mean, when Fratesi comes on, I mean, I was like, okay, so you're taking Barella off. Interesting, because Barella never gets taken off. But he can do that now, because Mkhitaryan was not tired. He was outstanding. And he puts on Fratesi, who just put in another gear. Because he can run, he is dynamic. His runs and his timed runs. I mean, he reminds me in that aspect of a lot like of Fredrik Ljungberg, if you remember him in Arsenal. He wasn't a very good shooter, he wasn't a very good passer, but his runs and his timing of runs were outstanding. Fratesi's not the most technically gifted footballer, but he's a very intelligent footballer in that he reads the game really well and he can time his runs and he knows what needs to be done. And that's something that is going to do Inter a world of favours when they go up against teams that defend deep. No, I'm really impressed. Really impressed.
True. Like Bruce Wayne apparently watches our podcast, said Inzaghi outplayed Pioli last night again for the fifth time in 1 year.
Yeah,
Joe, what do you think? Or what's going on? Like Nima said, would we hit form too early? Is this
no? Thing that's... No, Nima's right. It's more structural than that. I think they can absolutely keep it up. I there might be some dips and during the season, a match here, match there, but I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be like, I'm going to be harsh when I use this example, but I don't think it's going to be like Napoli last season, where they kind of tailed off toward the end. I can keep it up because of the depth that we have. I think this team is deeper than the Napoli side last year. Yeah, we can keep it up. Those are just kind of my thoughts.
That's a challenge now to keep it up, to keep this momentum going, to try to integrate these other players and keep them fit as well when they are called upon, and so they can deliver. I mean, Carlos Agosto yesterday was very good. He offers something else that offers something that Di Marco doesn't. Got to give it to Denzel Dumfries as well. I thought he was very, very good in by his standards. But I mean, there still are these kind of, you know, he makes these technical simple errors that has you scratching your head. There was an instance in the first half where he just, you know, his positioning is so bad. When he doesn't have someone in front of him basically telling him where to go, his positioning is so bad. And he gave so much space to Leao. But thankfully, nothing came of that chance. But I mean, again, if that's the worst weakness you have, you can mitigate that. You can work with that. And let's remember, you know, again, Christian Kivu as the left center back, as a left back, you won the treble with that. So every team has its weaknesses and its deficiencies. You just got to know how to mitigate that and get the best out of what you've got. And I think that someone like Cuadrado is going to be very useful in that aspect. And also, again, when Pavard is back, you free up Darmian as well. That's another thing. Inter have depth in lots of positions. I am so excited to see Pavard. This is a player who I've wanted at Inter. Well, he was my dream Skriniar replacement. I mean, I didn't want Skriniar to leave, but when it was clear that he was going to leave in January, Pavard was my number one choice. I still cannot believe that Inter managed to sign Benjamin Pavard. I mean, tactically on paper, he's perfect for Inzaghi's system and to the right of that back three. And him and Bastoni on either side, it's just, wow. I'm really looking forward to that.
It will be scary once both of them really get the hang of this role. Bastoni already does that great on the left side. Imagine Pavard in the same system, bombing forward, passes, shooting even. We know what he can do with.
He can score. That's the thing. He can score too. He has a good shot on him. I mean, there are some defensive question marks, but it doesn't matter because Inter defend like a unit. You saw that. I don't know if everyone noticed yesterday how Thuram and Lautaro do what Dzeko did last season. And I mean, this is what I mean about creating a culture. Everyone defends, everyone attacks. They really, it is a team that works as a team. Lautaro was in defense many times, stopping, you know, helping out to break up plays and then win the ball, and Thuram did the same thing too. This is a culture thing where you create a culture where when your striker is in next to your center back helping out, not just to set pieces, but when you're under pressure, you know, and he's your captain as well. That kind of thing is creates a positive environment and it brings people together. It makes people much more united in the group, in the dressing room. And you could see afterwards with Mkhitaryan, they absolutely love him. He's, you know, they all were joking and calling him, you know, Michele and all this. And it was, and they, you know, they absolutely love him. And you can understand why, because, okay, he's obviously a bit more experienced, but the football IQ he has is just truly, truly special.
True. If we go to the match itself, there was a funny quote from, well, funny for us, maybe a little bit more sad for Milan fans, but there was a quote from Stefano Pioli saying that basically we did nothing in the first 4 minutes or something like that, or that Milan totally dominated the game. Well, as things would have it, we have a breakdown by Bernard, more known as at Sir Phil. He's more usually known for the financial side, Twitter, Inter. And here we go. He literally broke it down second by second. going down. When I saw this, I was crying. So we had the ball. The ball was out of play. Passing between defenders. You just see, like, Milan did not do anything substantial. They mostly had the ball in their half, just for everyone listening. So from 41 seconds to a minute and 25 seconds, they were passing it between defenders. One ball came to Leao, but Dumfries makes him lose it. You know, then they had about 50 seconds of passing between defenders and goalkeepers. Then at 2 minutes 28 was Milan's first successful touch in inter half, but they have to go back again immediately to their own half. They have to retreat. Milan in our half again at 2:35, but lose the ball at 2:47. And then at 3 minutes on the dot, they try to enter a half. At 3:15, Leao gets pushed back behind their own defense. Attack gets blocked, goes back to Magnan, and then as fate would have it, 1-0.
So really, no, I don't know what he's talking about, Pioli, because when the game started and Inter were so composed, I was thrilled because that was the half that Inter had 30% ball possession and were tactically, in terms of positionally, perfect. They didn't give Milan anything. They basically gave them the ball and said, here, dude, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Not a goddamn thing is the answer, because Inter completely nullified them and then started winning the ball and counterattacking them ruthlessly. And then, of course, when need be, they took control of the game in the second half and had a 51-49% ball possession in the second half. So, and were able to control the game. So this is what I mean about how Inter are so versatile tactically, and they can hurt you in many ways. And that, I mean, Pioli was completely, you know, clueless yesterday. And again, fifth derby win in 1 year. That was the first goal that Milan scored in 5 games in 2023 against Inter.
That's all the right now. It's 12 goals for us, 1 for them this year. Yeah. 12-1 yeah. In 5 games.
So it's 3-0, 1-0, 2-0, 1-0, 5-1. I mean, yeah, it's just
like that. Yeah. And as we can see, Inzaghi is now the coach with the longest derby winning streak. All 5 of them came in this year, 2023. Mourinho, for example, had a 3-game winning streak from 2009-2010. Same as Mancini, a 3-game winning streak from 2006-2007. So it really seems that Inzaghi has mastered the aspect of the big games, of the high pressure games, you know. I mean,
he's made them enjoyable for the team. Like it's no longer like the work environment is such that they're always turned on, they're always professional, they're always want to do well. But now he's turned it into, they enjoy going into these games. They enjoy playing in the Champions League. They enjoy playing against Milan or Juve or whoever it is. They don't feel the pressure. And if anything, he's managed to channel that, create an environment where all that pressure is turned into, this situation where they all relish it. They can't wait to do it.
What can really say, like Matthias said, is this really a derby anymore? At least this year.
Well, I mean, 5 derby wins in all competitions in a row is historic. Let's not beat around the bush. It is historic, and I wonder how much more if Milan don't start winning again. I wonder if Pioli will stay on for much longer, because this is now a team where he's been there for quite a few years. They've actually invested in the team for him, like what he wanted. And you know, with Antonio, the longer Antonio Conte is unemployed, the more nervous I will get, because I under no circumstances want Antonio Conte at Milan. Under any circumstances want Antonio Conte at Milan, because that freaking scares me a lot. I do not want him at Milan at all with the players they've got, because then they are a threat for real.
Just imagine Theo Hernandez in a Conte system on the left flank.
I mean, that midfield, you know, he'll play 3-4-2-1. He already loves Giroud. He's got Giroud there already, who he also loves. He's got Theo there in a wing back. The back three, we know Milan are good in a back three. I hope Pioli stays, and I hope Milan start winning, because I don't want Pioli to get sacked, because that means that Antonio Conte comes in. And I do not want that at all. No.
What about the goal from yesterday? What a goal from Thuram? I was in the living room. I screamed. I was, what is going on? I kept saying, Thuram, what, how? Joe, what was your reaction? What was
I screamed. I screamed. Yes, I screamed. My mom had to come in from the other room because I was in shock. I didn't expect him to shoot, first of all, because that's not the player I usually consider him to be. He's usually very unselfish. But when he shot it and it went in top corner, it was a thing of beauty. It was one of the, it will go down as one of the best Derby goals there is
ever. Yeah. It's a classic Derby goal already. And it's become the Derby goal. It's the goal that symbolizes this Derby. Just like, you know, in famous Derby wins, you always have one goal that symbolizes that game. Like, for example, the 4-0 rout that, you know, in 2009. Well, the first goal where they ripped Milan apart with one-touch passes around the penalty box in movement, basically ABC of football, that and Thiago Motta scores it. That's become the symbol of that Derby. Goran Pandev's free kick in the return fixture with 9 men, 10 men, that's become the symbol of that. This Thuram bomb is the symbol of this Derby. And I think Marcus Thuram, had it not been for Mkhitaryan, who had the best game of his career, maybe, yesterday, then he would have been the man of the match, because Thuram was simply unbelievable. Simply unbelievable. He didn't put a foot wrong yesterday. He won every single challenge until he got a little bit tired and was taken off. But he won everything. He won everything. Everything he needed to do. Everything he wanted to do. They couldn't get near him. Malik Thiaw was like he went up against, it was like he went up against a boy, went up against a man. It just, he'd had nothing to put up against him. He didn't know how to handle him. And I'm seeing now Italian newspapers are saying, well, you know, Thuram is like a combination of Lukaku in his prime and Dzeko in his prime. And I can understand why they say that. But yeah, but to me, this is, he's not, he was always Dzeko's replacement. And Lautaro has now changed his game as well to be a more complete striker. So, nah, Thuram yesterday was just, that goal, the way that can you see how light he is in his step when he runs? He looks so feather light. There's no, like that, when you see that in a player, you know that they're in the form of their life. And that's how I feel about Marcus Thuram. And he wants to be at Inter. He really wanted to come here. He said to himself, you know, I gave my word to Inter 2 years ago. We were going to sign him, and then he was injured, and then we had to sign Correa instead. And I'm glad that history, that mistake was fixed, because I've always liked Marcus Thuram, but I didn't think that he could reach this level. I don't know who made fun of us signing Thuram. I certainly didn't. I was over the moon. No, it's truly unbelievable.
It was a derby debut to remember. Really, really was. To think what to do that in a derby debut, unbelievable. I'm more surprised with how quickly he gelled in with the whole team, with the whole style of play. I'll be honest, I don't know how Borussia Mönchengladbach played last year, where he came from. But I am sure he did not. I don't think he expected.
If I remember, I think he started the season really well. He scored quite a bit. And then he kind of, I think both him and Gladbach didn't, you know, they kind of phased out a little bit. But no, look, that's the thing. You have Alexis Sanchez there. You have Marko Arnautovic, who is coming for blood. I mean, I've never seen a player so wanting revenge, you know, so happy that he's got this second chance to play for Inter, because he wasn't ready when he was a kid back then in 2010 when he won the treble, and he wants to prove himself. Again, that seems to be the recurring theme. It's Inter is an environment where everybody wants to excel, everyone wants to do well. Everyone wants to perform. Everyone wants to deliver. Everyone wants to win. And they're willing to do it together and work hard together for each other to do it. And that is, when you can get that balance right, then, well, you're in a good position. And then you add to that how Inter are, like I said, the way that they are all on the same wavelength, the coach, the players, tactically, psychologically, mentally. It's look, Inter fans should be just enjoy this season. This is, you have every right to dream. they have now given you cause to dream. So don't get ahead of yourselves, but yeah, enjoy. Just enjoy this, because this is truly, this is a truly, truly special Inter.
Just the whole group of players. I can't remember the last time we had a team like this. Might as well be 09.
No, it is. Yeah, it is 09 or 10. It's nothing. Not even, even Conte's team had deficiencies. When he finally got it going, it was an unbelievable machines. But there was still some, there was some stuff there that wasn't working. I mean, Christian Eriksen and Perisic, especially Eriksen, didn't really suit, didn't really suit his football. He made it work because he is a tactical genius when he start, when he doesn't like throw temper tantrums, but he made it work. And same thing with Skriniar. They made it work, but there were chinks there, and they flopped in Europe. You know, let's remember they finished last in the Champions League group for the first time in Inter's history. This team just doesn't have that. This is a team that has already been in the Champions League final. They won four cups. It's a different level. It's a different Inter.
Kind of said myself better. Touching on to yesterday's performances, Henrik Mkhitaryan, best player on the pitch yesterday, scored two fantastic goals, assisted one more. Didn't even get substituted, if I remember correctly, which is the thing that surprised me most, because you would think a 34-year-old playing instead of how old is Fratesi? 24, 25-year-old Fratesi? I know before the game, people were like, oh, come on, when's going to Fratesi play? You really have to play a 90-year-old Mkhitaryan for 90 minutes every week, you know? But if he keeps on putting performances like these, I don't mind him starting it at all.
No, he's not going to. You can't bench Mkhitaryan. Like when he plays like that, you can't bench him. He was simply unplayable. And if you look at him as well, like you said, he looks in such good physical condition. You know, he looked the least tired, and he ran so much for 90 minutes, and he was so important in both phases. And he looked so, again, feather light. They all looked so light in their steps. And that's, you know, again, the medical team, the physios, they've got the team in perfect condition.
Whatever is going on behind the doors that we don't see, keep it up. We touched on Thuram. We touched on Mkhitaryan. Is there any other player you guys want to single out, praise the performances, that surprised you maybe, did something fantastic?
I would say Carlos Augusto. I know we touched on him a bit earlier, but when he came on, DeMarco was okay. Wasn't his best game, wasn't his worst, but Augusto was fantastic. It was like a breath of fresh air down the left. He offered something different, like Nima said. He's a different player, but it's good to kind of have the ability to change things up like that, and that kind of adds to the depth of the team too. Carlos Augusto was fantastic. One thing I wanted to kind of ask Nima for a minute was, it looks like Mkhitaryan, they're talking about extending his contract for a year. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, if he's going to play like this, and he continues to play like this, then I think a one-year contract extension is in order. Where else are you going to find a player who has this experience, fits this team so easily? And, you know, let's remember, he wasn't brought in to be a starter. He was brought in to be a rotation player. And if he can guide this team and they can continue to rotate and play like this, he continues to lead by example, and clearly the others follow, then I absolutely think he should extend by a year. Because again, as a rotation player at this level, I think he's more than good enough. But if he's going to have the best season of his career, well, then definitely extend his contract by a year.
Yeah.
Fun times to be an Inter fan.
It really is. And look, we're going to the Champions League now, and I'm very, very curious to see how we handle Real Sociedad away, because that's going to be tricky as hell.
And thank you for giving me the perfect segue onto the next segment. We are playing Real Sociedad on the 20th. which is in 3 days, which is Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. We play them at 9 p.m. EU time, Central Europe time even. We play them at 3 p.m. America time. Can you?
Two my time, 3.
2 p.m. East Coast, and then 3 hours back West Coast, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's 3 p.m. Isn't it 3 p.m. Eastern? And it's 2 p.m.
3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central.
Thank you. That's the one, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. I always get that mixed up.
Yeah.
I know that we haven't touched on the group, except for the live stream, first one I did, on what our group even looks like, what we're expecting. And now that I have you two here, it's perfect time to touch on that. So the group for the UCL is as follows. Benfica, who we played last season in the quarters. We have Real Sociedad, who are making a comeback to the Champions League after God knows how many years. And Red Bull Salzburg Core has their counterparts in Germany as well. Rasenball Sport, something. What are your predictions for this group? What do you think?
For me, this is a group that Inter should win. Let's not beat around the bush. I think it's a very good draw. I think they're not easy games, and they are good sides. Look, Sociedad are a very good side. We know what Benfica and Salzburg can do. So, having played them, so I don't think there's any, you know, Inzaghi's teams don't underestimate their opponents. They come prepared. And I think that at least under him so far, you never see him underestimate anyone. He comes prepared, and the team comes prepared. They don't always, you know, they might fail every now and again, but they don't turn up to the Champions League or important games, must-win games in the Champions League without being prepared and deliver. They always do it. Sociedad away is a tricky game. That's probably the trickiest game of the group. And you start already with that, which I think is perfect, because no one, after this derby, where everyone can start flying away and thinking they're the best in the world, there's no time to do that. They know the challenge that awaits them, and it's a difficult one. That's the most difficult game, I think, in my opinion, of the group away. And I'm glad that we start away with the most difficult group when we're in fantastic form, and also because to keep this momentum going. I'm happy that the game comes now. But overall, Inter have to win this group. Not qualify, win. They have to win this group.
True. Joe, what are your thoughts? Who do you think is the toughest opponent, toughest fixture, and easiest?
By Sociedad, especially away, like Nima said. I watch a little bit of them because I do watch a little bit of La Liga, and they always impress me with how they play. They have some interesting players. We can definitely beat them. I think we're cut above them, but going to the environment, I mean, they haven't been in the championship for so long anyway, that their fans are going to be very hyped for it. No doubt. It's going to be a very difficult environment. Obviously, it's not easy, but we've proven we can beat Benfica. And arguably Benfica have gotten worse. So, but you know, see about that. And then Salzburg, obviously, it's a group where you can't really take your eye off the ball because there's no easy opponent. There's no whipping boy of the group. But it's also one where every game is winnable. It's not like we have to like go on edge against a PSG, Real Madrid, something like that. Someone like that. It's every game is winnable. So I think first place is the expectation by far.
True. Anything else I think is a failure, at least for the group stage.
Agreed.
The 100%. Final group stage in this format, you know, because next season, God knows what's going to happen. And I think even God doesn't know. But yeah, I think this is really a season to cement us first place, to get the easier fixtures, getting the second place teams from other groups. The group is balanced, I'd say. The reason there isn't like a weakest team, they're all fairly strong. I would say even fairly even, maybe Salzburg the weakest of them, just because they lost their star striker Okafor to Milan. but we're gonna see. I know personally a lot of people who are going to go to the Salzburg away game because it's closer to my part of Europe. And it's just nice to see that even with the team in this form, I just know a lot of fans will travel for the away games. They will have the support from the stands. It really
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, you know, the 2023, the derbies, like I was there for the return, the semi-final home leg, return leg in the Champions League. And I've been blessed to be at San Siro many, many times and see many, many derbies, but that was something else. And it's become a thing now. The San Siro, when Inter play at home and against Milan and the derbies, it's become this kind of, you know, the loudness, the sound volume is just unlike, it's unreal. And yesterday we saw that. It was the rain was pouring down, but didn't stop the atmosphere from being unbelievable again.
Yeah.
Perfect start to the season. 4-4 for the wins. Even we only conceded one goal, and that was against Milan right now. So really hard to put this into words because it's been a while since we started the season off like this. So dominantly, such an emphatic way with a collective of people, of players that, you know, really seem to gel well together. After the Sociedad match, we have the home match, the away match against Empoli on the 24th at 12:30 p.m. P.m., correct? What do you think? Empoli right now in the standings are dead last.
They are awful, Ian. Empoli are awful. Empoli are genuinely the worst team in the Serie A. And I don't expect that. I expect them to finish last. I predicted them, I think, to finish dead last in the Serie A as well. And I feel a little bit bad for them because they've lost so many quality players, but they've not really replaced them, and that's not really who they are. But they will. I wonder if Paolo Zanetti is not the first coach to get sacked, and that they will finish dead last. I think I look at this game and I think Inter should win this comfortably without breaking a sweat even. But again, I mean, I'm looking at the fixture list now, and it's, you know, after Sociedad, you've got, like you said, Empoli and then Sassuolo at home, which can always be tricky for Inter, and then Salernitana away, which was tricky for Inter last season. And then you've got Benfica on after that, 3 days after that, and then you've got Bologna, and then you've got the international break. So it is, this is the beginning now of this little mini tour, as they call it, the mini tour de force, which is one of Simone Inzaghi's probably favorite expressions. They all of them are winnable, and they should be winnable. I mean, if you go into the second international break with two wins, with all these, you know, with the Champions League, two games won in the Champions League, and a couple of wins in the Serie A to extend that to maybe 7 or 8, and then we're talking, we're giving ourselves some distance, because I think that. I hate to say it, but I think the only thing that stands in Inter's way of that second star is Mr. Allegri in Turin, because they have one game a week, and I don't know if you watched them play Lazio. It was Juve that how Juve looked before, this kind of ruthlessness, this kind of the relentlessness, and Vlahovic looks better than in many, many years. Chiesa as well. This is an interview of a Scudetto race, and I can't, and it's not been one for many years. And I think we're the more Inter can put points between themselves and Juve, the better it is for everybody, because I do not want to have a situation where after 10 games, Inter have 10 wins and Juve 9 wins and 1 draw. That scares the shit out of me. I don't want that.
True.
So I want at least 4 or 5 point lead by match day 10 over Juve.
True.
because Juve are the main challengers. I don't see Milan. I don't think Milan are. I think we saw that Milan are an interesting side, but there's still some kinks that need to work out. And Napoli is a mess under Rudy Garcia. He will get it to
work. Looks horrible, yeah.
He will get it to work eventually, but exactly. And so Juve is the one to watch, and I don't want to go into a situation in next year in March when Inter are in the latter stages of the Champions League and Coppa Italia and only be 2-3 points ahead of Juve. I don't want that at all. That kind of pressure is not nice. I don't want to have that at all. I want as many points as possible. But question is, will Juve drop points? I'm not sure they will.
Only time will tell. They already drew one, seeing how they're on 10 points right now. I guess we'll just have to follow the season just like everyone else and see.
Yeah, I know.
Joe, what do you think of our fixture list for the upcoming weeks? So, as we said, Sociedad and then Napoli both away. And then it really starts to pick up with games every 3 to 4 days. Sassuolo at home, always difficult. Salernitana away, Benfica at home, and so on and so on.
Yeah, the one that stands out besides Sociedad, honestly, I mean, Sassuolo, neither of them look really good at all. So it's a great time to play them. If I have to think, I mean, Salernitana away is not easy. They're in decent form. I like their squad. But, I mean, the run of fixtures looks really good, doesn't it? I feel pretty confident.
It does look promising. You know, all the difficult fixtures, I think, kind of spaced out. So there's not really a period where you have to, you know, play tough fixture week after week after week, you know. So we have, let's say, Inter Benfica. Here's the toughest one, I'd say. And then you have the international break in between here. And then you have Inter Roma at the end of the month with Inter Salzburg. You know, it's really, really spaced out. Even when is Juve? Juve is on the 26th of November. And even that is after international break,
yeah.
2 weeks, you know, and then off to Benfica and Napoli. I'd say this is the most difficult period.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even that is like 2 to 3 months into the season where the whole machine is already working. Mm. So it will be interesting to see. We do have a question from the comments. Uncle Sharma paid a visit to us. Hi, Sharma. Says, which game will Nima attend this year?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but we'll see. I think I love Milan from February onwards. That's when I try to make my visits to Milan. I think Milan from February, March, April, May is beautiful. So that's what I'm thinking.
It's going to be interesting to see. What about you, Joe? Do you reckon you're going to make it over the pond to Europe?
Probably not this season. Probably the one after. I'm looking to probably go to the Euros this summer, though.
Nice.
Yeah. Very interesting. Do you have any specific country already in mind?
For the Euros?
But if you want to visit anything else.
Oh, I don't know. I obviously Italy and Germany. Those are just my two. Yeah.
Nice. I think this is pretty much it. I think we can wrap it up. We touched everything. We touched the upcoming fixture list. One thing I do want to get from both of you before we leave is the predictions. So Sociedad is in 3 days. I need the score prediction. I'm going to keep you hostage if you don't give me one.
I wouldn't be surprised if we drew this one 1-1 or something, because Sociedad are good at home. And I think if Inter win 1-0, 2-0, it would be unbelievable. But I think the draw will come now. I think there will be some form of reaction, because I think he will rotate, and I think he should rotate. And I think a draw away at Sociedad is not the end of the world. So 1-1, something like that.
True. Can happen. Joe, what about you?
It's going to be tough. I don't see us keeping a clean sheet. I'm going to say 2 or 3-1.
2-3-1?
Yeah, to Inter.
I personally think we're going to rotate heavily. I can see Cuadrado starting. I can see Fratesi starting. I can even see Pavard making an appearance.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he'll start, if I'm honest. I think it'll be Sommer, Pavard, De Vrij, Bastoni, maybe Di Marco or Carlos Agosto. I think we'll see Fratesi start. And yeah, Arnautovic as well. I expect him to start, Arnautovic and Cuadrado, maybe even if Cuadrado's fit. So I think we're going to see quite a few changes, actually.
True. I mean, we've got the bench now. We talked about it in the beginning. Five great substitutions yesterday. We could have made five more really good substitutions.
No, we could. Yeah. We could.
The squad depth is crazy. Like Hector said, the game should be on YouTube, but censored, you know? It was really, really, really a five-star performance. Five stars, no, five goals, really. Five derby wins in a row.
Yeah, no, it's truly unbelievable. I'm a little bit shell-shocked still, to be honest. Still a little bit shell-shocked. Did not see that coming.
I don't think anyone really expected it to come to this. I don't really think anyone expected a result like this. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you, Nima, for joining us. Thank you, Pleasure. Joe, for joining us. Is there anything you guys want to plug? Your Twitter, what's going on in your life?
Well, I mean, we do Sempre Inter. If you want to follow the news, check Sempre Inter and of course, the Italian Football Podcast. If you want to listen to myself and Carlo bicker about Allegri and De Zerbi and other things. But check us out. My Twitter handle is @NimaTavrud, and then you've got links to the pod, Italian Football Podcast, and Sempre Inter there. So, yeah, that's it.
Joe, anything you want to say?
Just follow me at average Joe _17 and subscribe to Nima's pod. It's excellent.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Well, appreciate you guys for joining us. I think it's been a really great episode. It's been a very interesting time of the year also for Inter. I can only hope that we keep it up.
Absolutely.
With that being said, any final comments?
No, Forza Inter. Forza Inter. And commiserations for Milan. What a derby. I see droves of their fans going offline and like completely like it was a little bit like this. Did you see the tifo that Inter did? I don't know if a lot of people understood what it said, but it basically was a picture of a rat coming up from a sewer, and they said, Inter's curva said, you know, you've come up through the manhole, referring to them being rats coming up through the sewer. And well, if you only take that analogy a bit further, they're nowhere to be found now, because they were completely demolished five times, and it ended with the worst demolition. Yeah, that's the one, Siete usciti dal tombino, I think it says. And that's what they're referring to. They're calling them rats, saying that you've come up from the manholes, but no, they are back in the manholes, if you wish. They're back in the sewer, because yesterday was just unbelievable.
Five stars yet again. And with that being said, thank you guys all for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you, Nima, again for joining us. Follow Joe. Thank you, Joe, for coming. I can subscribe to our podcast. Follow us on Twitter. And until next time, thank you.